The question was asked, we find in Tanakh, in the Bible, that there are five times that Yaakov's name is spelled differently. So our sages had something called the Masorah, which was a work which delineated the tradition we have in terms of the spelling. We've been very accurate in the spelling. There used to be one text on the Temple Mount from the days that Moshe wrote, and people would copy their texts off of that. Later on, there was one text on the Temple Mount that Ezra, the scribe, wrote, who led us back to Israel. And so even though we've had many wandering Jews, when we get back together again, what we find is that the Jews of Yemen and the Jews of Iraq and the Jews of France, the Jews from all over the world, have a common text. And it's pretty amazing, because we get together with communities that haven't been in touch with the rest of the Jews for a millennium or two or three. And suddenly you find that we're all working off of the same text, and the differences are minuscule. This is one of the proofs against the Muslim claim that we adulterated the Bible. The Muslims claim that Muhammad was mentioned in the Bible and that we erased it. Well, we have texts that predate Muhammad, and he's not there. It's interesting. I'm not even talking about the Septuagint. I'm just as far as our text. So we've been very careful about how we record the Torah. And one of the things we've been careful about is that there are five places that Yaakov is written with a vav. That vowel is a silent vowel. It can either have the vav representing it there or not. Our tradition is that corresponding to that, we have five places that Elijah the prophet is written as Eliyah instead of Eliyahu. And you correctly said that there's a medrash that aligns this concept with a covenant about the 12 tribes and the 12 tribes passing from the world, that there will always be a representation of each tribe in the world. And your question was, why is that specifically mentioned with Yaakov, with Jacob? Why is it in his name that we have that allusion? So our sages tell us that when Jacob had the dream of the ladder, so he slept on 12 rocks. And there was a tradition among Israel from Abraham downward that there would be 12 tribes corresponding to the 12 forms in the zodiac, corresponding to the 12 months of the year, corresponding to many concepts of 12 we find in nature. You have also 12 tribes, which represent 12 forces among the Jewish people. Each tribe has its nature. It says, for example, that people who came from the tribe of Dan used to be very into litigation. Dan, that comes from the word to judge, and it says it was a hallmark of the tribe. Whenever people from the tribe of Dan would get upset, they were today's New Yorker, right? I'm going to sue. So it says that was the tribe of Dan. And years after the temple was destroyed, centuries later, there was a man who would always say, "I'm going to sue." And they said, "He must be from the tribe of Dan." And they were able, back then, to check his lineage, and he actually was from the tribe of Dan. It says that the tribe of Asher used to prefer houses by the seaside because, Zvulun, the tribe of Zvulun, their portion was by the sea, and so they developed a great affinity for the sea. And here that's always the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? So our tradition is that each tribe got their lot which corresponded to their inner nature, and not that the portion developed that nature, but rather that the nature corresponded to the lot, and that was part of the wisdom, that was part of the tradition. When Yaakov blesses each tribe and when Moshe blesses each tribe, they're giving them blessings that correspond to their strengths and weaknesses. And our tradition is that this color scheme, where each tribe brings its color to the Jewish people, is part of what makes us vibrant. We balance one another. We need to be a whole. So when Yaakov has that dream, Yaakov already knows his tradition from his father and grandfather that there are going to be 12 tribes. And part of that dream, part of the message with that dream, and by the way, we shouldn't take that dream so simply. Like I was telling my son the other day, you know, angels are climbing the ladder. Angels have wings, right? So they need a ladder? They can't get to heaven without a ladder? Angels need wings to fly. Angels can't fly without wings. So we, you know, the verse in Isaiah says, God is coming on a cloud. He needs a cloud to fly. You know, He created the cloud, so he needs the cloud to fly. What does Isaiah mean? So whenever we read these things, we have to remember there's something else being said here. It's described in simplistic terms, but we have to grow, you know, mature and understand that there's something else going on here. This, you know, we understood it in first grade one way, and then we have to understand there's more going on with that dream. Our tradition is that dream represents the future of the Jewish people. There was a lot going on when he saw the idea of going up and down a ladder, the idea that the Jewish people will have ups, will have downs, but they're staying on that ladder. And there's a concept of a connector, that the Jews have the capacity to go up the ladder, not only down the ladder. Because our sages ask, why were the angels going up and down? If they're angels, aren't they coming down from heaven first and then going up? Shouldn't it have been the other way around? Wouldn't they be coming down the ladder and then going up? So our sages say, no, it wasn't talking about angels. It was a prophecy of where the Jewish people were headed, that we would have the capacity to go up and down. And our sages go great lengths. We have chapters, whole chapters written just about that dream, about what that dream teaches us about our future. But one of the concepts that Yaakov Avinu was told at that juncture was that he would father 12 tribes, and that those 12 tribes would remain for eternity. And that was a vision that Yaakov saw to fruition. And that's why when Yaakov hears that Joseph is gone, Yaakov will never accept to be comforted. And the question is, why? The halacha says, if a person doesn't accept comforting, what he's saying is, God doesn't know what he's doing. He's saying, I am more merciful than God. And so therefore, I will weep more than God, because the halacha says we have laws of mourning. The first day, complete weeping, a person doesn't don tefillin. The first 3 days, a person keeps crying. 7 days, shiva. 30 days, for a parent, you have a year. But after that, you have to move on with life. Where do we find such a thing that for 22 years, a person mourns his son? Yeah. And he refuses to be comforted. So our sages say he wasn't mourning just the Joseph. When Joseph was lost, Yaakov said, that's it. Then where's the future going? The only life he knew was a life where his job was to develop the people of Israel. And the people of Israel meant 12 tribes. And if one was lost, then all were lost. To Yaakov, there was no alternative. Because part of that vision of his task in the world was to father the 12 tribes. And that's why it's so fitting that his name is the one that alludes to that covenant. Because he was the one who had that responsibility. And our sages say, if you notice, Abraham and Isaac, Avram and Yitzchak, both did not have children at a young age. They were both spared that hardship. Our sages say it's very hard to bring up kids. And Avram and Yitzchak, Abraham and Isaac, both did not have that hardship. Yaakov, oh, he was suffering. He had all that inner struggle. He had all the hardships of bringing up a family. And because of that, Yaakov represents the father, the ultimate father of the three tribes, the three patriarchs. Even though Avram has his strength and Yitzchak has his strength, but Yaakov is the one that when we say that there's a representation of man in heaven, it says in the prophetic vision of Ezekiel, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, we've been learning. So it says that the angels have different faces. One of the faces is a human face. And the human face, our tradition, is the face of Yaakov. Yaakov represents the ultimate in humanity. And that's, by the way, what the angels are doing when they're going up and down the ladder. One of the commentaries, the Talmud and Tractate Chulin, tells us they're comparing Yaakov. They're going up to heaven and seeing the vision of man. And then they're going back down and looking at Yaakov, and they're comparing. Is he living up to his potential? And by the way, he was not. That's another point. But at any rate, that's why it's fitting that Yaakov, in his name, represents that. And as you find, we are called the people of Israel. Israel is a name of Yaakov. It's not a name of Avram and Yitzchak. The father of our nation is Yaakov, and it is only from Yaakov onward that we say two things. We say all of Yaakov's children are a part of Israel. And we also say, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisraelu. Any descendant of Yaakov, even if they've transgressed, they're still a Jew. Abraham didn't have that. He had a son Yishmael. He was not Jewish. Yitzchak didn't have that. He had a son Esav. He was not Jewish. But Yaakov's children, that's it. There's a covenant. They're one. And anyone that descends from them is going to be a part of that one. And that's why it makes sense that it's in his name that we have the allusion to the wholeness of the 12 tribes.